Revelation chapter 3 and verse number 20. These words, if your Bible is like mine, are written in red. Means this is the Lord Jesus speaking. He says, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man," I like that word there, any. "If any man hear my voice and open the door." Amen. Two different things. If he hears my voice and he opens the door, "I will come in to him and will sup with him and he with me." Amen. Amen. Praise God. What a promise that is. But there are some stipulations there. Praise God. Amen. I want to preach this today, and my title is the form of a question. Does he hold the key to your life? Does he hold the key to your life today? Let's ask the Lord to speak to us and help us in the next few moments. Lord, we love you. We thank you for the opportunity to be here today. We're so appreciative, oh Lord, to be able to be in your house this morning. Thank you, Jesus, that we have the opportunity to pray. Lord, to seek your face. We've had the opportunity to sing the songs of Zion and to give you praise and worship today. We're here now, oh God, at this time that has been set aside for the preaching of your word. I'm asking God that you would give me grace right now, that you would anoint me right now and help me, dear God. I can't do this without your help and without the Holy Ghost to guide me. I need you right now, Jesus. Let the words of this mortal man be transformed by the Spirit, God. Oh, that it would talk to our hearts today and touch us and help us today, God. We need you, Lord. We understand, God, that we're here because we want to make sure that we're ready to meet you, God, that we're ready to make it to heaven, that we've prepared ourselves, oh God, for the life hereafter, Lord. We understand that this is what it's all about today, is getting ready to meet you. And we want to do that today. God, help us as we endeavor, oh God, to be what you want us to be. We love you. We praise you. We thank you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Bless the Lord. Bless the Lord. Oh, glory to God. Amen. Lord bless you. You can be seated this morning. Ephesians chapter 4, verse number 27 is a very short verse that just says, "Neither give place to the devil." There is something about Satan. He has many different names, many different titles, but there's something about him that if you give him an opportunity, amen, he will pounce on that opportunity. He will take full advantage of it. Amen. The old saying is, if you give an inch, he'll take a mile. Amen. That is so true with our enemy, the enemy of our soul. If you give him the least opportunity, if you open the door just a crack, he's like a very good, or maybe not good, but persistent salesman. I've worked with them, and I didn't make the cut. Amen. I had a salesman tell me that was trying to train me. He said, I was pastoring at the time, and he didn't understand, amen, what pastoring was all about. This is what was his words. He said, "You get up in the pulpit and tell people, amen, that they're going to hell every Sunday, but you can't sell this stuff." And I said, I don't get up in the pulpit and tell people that every Sunday, but amen, it's a little different. Amen. But you crack the door an inch and he'll get his foot in the door. Amen. He will take a mile if you give him any chance. That's why that the word says don't give him any place. Don't give him any space. Amen. It is so important not to give him a chance. Amen. Matthew chapter 12, verses 43 through 45 says, "When the unclean spirit has gone out of a man, he walketh through dry places, seeking rest, and findeth none. Then he saith, I will return into my house from whence I came out. When he is come, he findeth it empty. Notice that word, empty. Swept and garnished. Then goeth he and taketh with himself seven other spirits more wicked than himself, and they enter in and dwell there. And the last state of that man is worse than the first. Even so shall it be also unto this wicked generation. Amen. That's why it's so imperative. It is so important, amen, to stay full. Amen. Stay full. Amen. And not just with anything, but to stay full of the Holy Ghost. Stay full of the Spirit of God. Amen. It's not enough just to, amen, repent and to clean things up, although that is necessary. And that's the first step in coming to God. Amen. Praise God. God will hear a prayer of repentance. Well, praise God. I said, God will hear a prayer of repentance. Amen. And it's not enough to get baptized and to wash away your sins, as the Scripture tells us. Amen. That is necessary, vital, and you can't make it to heaven without having your sins remitted. And that's through the blood of Jesus Christ. Amen. Nobody else shed their blood for us but Him. And no other name can remit your sins but Jesus' name. Oh, hallelujah. Colossians chapter 2 says we're buried with Him in baptism. Praise God. With Jesus, the one that was, amen, crucified and shed His blood for us. His blood cleanseth us from all sin. Praise God. Well, hallelujah. Amen. But it's not enough just to do that either, because Jesus said, amen, the unclean spirit that is cast out or thrown out of a man when he repents of his sins, and when he gets his sins remitted, he cleans up his temple. He cleans up himself. He cleans up his house, if you will, and empties all of the old out. Praise God. Oh, hallelujah. 1 Corinthians 5 and 17 says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. Old things are passed away. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are new. Praise God. Amen. So the old has got to go. But it's not enough just to get the old away from you and empty out, amen, the clutter in your life and get rid of the things that are displeasing to God. But, amen, Jesus said, that spirit that is thrust out of a man when he begins to get his life right with God, he's going to come back around again. I wish he would just leave me alone forever. I wish I could say the devil, once you repent, get baptized in Jesus' name, clean your life up, that he's just going to leave and never come back. That all those old temptations will leave and never come back. That the tempter and the accuser of the brethren and the one that got mankind to fall in the very beginning, that he would just leave you alone and say, well, they're no longer mine anymore and it's not my territory, so I can't come around anymore. But no, Jesus said he's going to come back around. He's going to be looking. Hallelujah. And he says if he finds that house, if he finds that place where he used to dwell, empty, swept, and garnished. That's wonderful that it's been emptied out, that it's been cleaned up, it's swept, it's garnished, it looks good. But he said if he finds it empty, something's going to happen. Well, hallelujah. Something's going to take place. He said that spirit's going to say, ho, ho, ho. It's still empty. Nobody's taken residence up there yet. There's an opportunity for me, and he's going to go take seven other spirits more vile than himself. Well, praise God. And he's going to come back, and he's going to enter back in again. I'm going to tell you, you need to have a no vacancy sign outside the door of your house that says, this isn't for rent, it's not for sale. Amen. And the best way to do that is to make sure you got a new tenant in there. Praise God. Well, hallelujah, hallelujah. Don't stay empty. Don't stay empty, but get full of the Holy Ghost. Get full of the Spirit of God. Amen. When that tempter comes around again, he says, somebody else is there. I can't come in. It's full. It's full. There's somebody else has taken up residence in that house. Amen. Don't give him an opportunity. Well, praise God. A vacant house is an opportunity for the devil to have his way. An empty house is an opportunity, amen, for Satan, amen, to do what he wants to do. Don't give him a chance. Don't give him any kind of an opportunity. Well, praise God. Amen. But I haven't come just to preach about Satan today. I've come to preach about the, amen, the one that wants to fill, amen, you. The one that wants to come in. The one that wants to dwell in you. Praise God. Amen. If you make room for God, you'll be amazed at what he will do. Well, praise God. You know, Satan is not a gentleman. Satan goes where he's not welcome. Satan barges in when he's not welcome. Satan forces himself on people. Well, hallelujah. There's so many people today bound by so many things that they didn't really want. But because they left the door open a crack, Satan just pushed his way in. Oh, yes, that's right. He forced his way in where he wasn't wanted and where he wasn't welcome. People say, I didn't intend to get a man hooked on drugs. I just wanted to try a little bit, see if it's really true what my friends were telling me. I didn't intend to become an alcoholic, but you know what? I just tried a beer here, and I tried this there, and a little bit here. They opened the door a crack, and, amen, he just barged on in and said, I know this isn't what you wanted, but here it is now. Well, praise God. I had a cousin die of cirrhosis of the liver at a young age just a few years ago. Seen him in the hospital just a few weeks before he died, sitting there all swelled up. Young man. That said when he was a child, him and his brother, their daddy's an alcoholic. He's still alive. Go figure. Daddy's an older gentleman. Still drinking. But he's got a boy that's in the grave. Because he took up what daddy took up. They said, I ain't going to be like that. Them boys said, I ain't going to be like daddy. No, I'm not going to be. But they had a beer here and one there. And they opened the door. Well, somebody needs to hear what I'm preaching today. And we buried him just a few years ago because he opened the door and Satan got a foothold. Don't tell me he wanted to do that. Don't tell me his goal in life was just to be a slobbering drunk all his days, hardly ever hold down a job, sit at home, drink his life away, go to the grave at young age. No, that wasn't his goal, his desire. But when he opened up the door, well, praise God. But God wants to, but he's not going to bust through the door. He's not going to come where he's not welcome. He's not going to come where he's not invited. He will never force himself on you. Jesus said, amen. He said, I stand at the door and I knock. My question today is, why does he have to stand outside the door knocking? A while back when I read this, it really hit me. As I could picture, matter of fact, I looked some pictures up online I wanted to get a good picture of it. And there's the Lord standing at a door with the light shining out of the little window in the door, and he's knocking. He said, I stand at the door and knock. Song of Solomon chapter 5 verses 2 through 6 says, I sleep, but my heart waketh. It is the voice of my beloved that knocketh, saying, open to me, my sister, my love, my dove, my undefiled, for my head is filled with dew, and my locks with the drops of the night. She said, I've put off my coat, how shall I put it on? I've washed my feet, how shall I defile them? My beloved put in his hand by the hole of the door, and my bowels were moved for him. I rose up to open to my beloved, and my hands dropped with myrrh. My fingers with sweet-smelling myrrh upon the handles of the lock. I opened to my beloved, but my beloved had withdrawn himself and was gone. My soul failed when he spake. I sought him, but I could not find him. I called him, but he gave me no answer. The chapter goes on to say, she ran outside. She began to talk to the night watchman. Have you seen him? Where's he gone? She began searching through town for him, but could not find him. But the opportunity was there. Amen. While he stood outside knocking and calling to her, would you open up to me? I'm here. I want to visit. I want to spend some time with you. He was reaching in, amen, letting her know it's me. Would you come and open up? But it was not a convenient time. Amen. She had washed her feet. Amen. She had gotten in the bed. She wasn't dressed, amen, to have company. And she said, it's just not convenient. I've got to get dressed. I've got to get out of bed. I'm going to have to wash my feet again to get back in bed later on. And amen, while she laid there wondering, while she laid there trying to make up her mind, the time came and left. And her love, her beloved, moved on. Then she got up and she started searching and running, but he was gone. Well, praise God. Jesus said, I stand at the door and knock. Amen. There used to be an old saying, probably none of the young people understand what it means now unless you've done reading, but the pioneers and other ones back in the day, they had to make their own hinges and their own everything. And to make the latch for their doors, they would make a wooden latch that moved up and down behind a piece of wood that would hold their door shut and locked. And they would drill a hole through the door and run a piece of leather or some kind of string tied to the latch up through the hole. So you could pull it, raise the latch, open the door. When they didn't want anybody coming in or at night, they would pull the string through the hole. And then there was no way for anybody to get the door open. But if they ever told you, I'll leave the latch string out for you, that meant when you come by and you seen that string hanging out the door was ready for you to open and come on in. You had a standing open invitation to come into their house. Amen. To get that told to you would be a privilege. I'm a true friend. Amen. I'll leave the latch string out for you. Kind of reminds me of years ago hearing old Tom Baudet say, we'll leave the light on for you at Motel 6. You're welcome here when you come by and the light's on. You're welcome here when you see the latch string hanging out. You have an open invitation into my home. I'm not worried about you. I want you to come. Amen. I want you to drop by. Anytime you want to drop by, you just come by, and you're welcome into my place. I wonder if we could do that with the Lord. I just wonder today if we could give Jesus a standing open invitation into our hearts and into our lives. I know times have changed. I remember growing up as a child, we lived out the end of a dead-end road out in the country, had several acres of property, and nobody had cell phones, and amen, nobody, yes, hallelujah, amen, nobody could text you, amen. I've heard of kids these days saying, how did you text on those landline phones? Amen, we didn't text. Praise God. Well, we're just a few years removed from some things, ain't we? Hadn't been that long, seems like. I mean, maybe that means I'm just getting old. But it hadn't been that long, it seems like. But you just got out and about on a Saturday and you were just driving around with the family. And then you said, hey, we're close to so-and-so's house. Let's drop by. At least that's the way it was where I grew up. If you had got a hankering to just drop by and see them, you just dropped by. And if they were home, they said, get out. Come in. And, boy, you couldn't do that nowadays. Oh, my goodness, who is out there? They didn't call first. What in the world? Kids, get it, pick it up, clean it up, get the table wiped off. Don't you? Oh, my goodness, let me stall them. Let me come outside and show them my flower beds. And hurry, 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 get dressed. You can't do that nowadays. You'll get killed. Well, that's the way it used to be. Just an open invitation. Just come on by. Now, you might not have always liked it, but you didn't show them that. Have something to eat. We were just sitting down to eat. And, yeah. But I wonder if we're that way with the Lord. Oh, wait a minute, God. I've got some things I've got to take care of before I open the door and let you in. Don't come in just yet. Just stall him, stall him, stall him. He said, I'm standing outside and I'm knocking. Come on, picture that today in your mind. The Lord Jesus Christ, the one that loves you, that cares about you more than anybody ever cared about you, more than anybody ever loved you, the one that shed his blood for you, the one, amen, that gives his mercy to us every morning. His mercies, his compassions are new. They fail not. The one that watches over, amen, you when you don't even know what's happening. The one that keeps you safe when you don't even realize what's going on. Amen, is standing outside the door and he's knocking. Why does he have to stand outside, Brother Reed, and knock? I don't understand why he's locked outside. Why someone hasn't given him an open invitation. Why someone hasn't just given him their spare key. Well, praise God. You've got people that you do that with. Here's a key to my house. If I'm going on vacation or something, if you don't mind, come by, check on it for me. You trust them. They've got a key to your house. You trust them. They've got a key to your place, and they can come in and have full reign of the place. And you know that. You're aware of that. But you trust them enough to give them the key. And Jesus doesn't have the key in this scripture. He's standing outside and he's knocking and he's calling because he said, if any man will hear my voice. Oh, it's not that we don't know who he is. They knew who he was. He said, I'm calling. He was talking to the church of Laodicea. He said, I'm calling, but if any man, I just want somebody to hear me. I just want somebody to open the door because I want to come in. I want to spend some time with you. I want to sit down and visit with you. I want to have a relationship with you. Oh, hallelujah. He didn't say, I'm fixing to kick this door in and force myself on you. He didn't say, if you don't open the door, I'm coming in. No, he said, I'm out here. I wonder how long he had been knocking. Amen. Scripture lets us know that it was a process. He had been there for a while. He had been knocking, and it was a continuation. I'm still here. I'm still knocking. I'm calling. Does anybody hear? Does anybody care? Does anybody want to spend some time with me? Does anybody want to have a relationship with me? I'm here. I'm knocking and calling. If any man, I'm just. He's not particular. He's not prejudiced. It isn't only specific people, a specific age group, specific race, specific kind of person, of social status. He said, if any man, if anybody, if any man, woman, child, just is there anybody in the house that hears this knock and that hears this voice? If you'll just open the door, I'm going to come in and I'm going to sup with you. I'm going to sit down and have a meal with you. We're going to spend some time together. Can you hear me? What a sad thing for the Lord to not have the key and the standing open invitation. You don't have to knock, Lord. You don't have to call first. You don't have to ask me. I'm giving you the key. Whenever you want to drop by, you just come in. Whenever you want to, I'm giving you total reign of my home, of my life. I don't want you to stand outside knocking. I want you to come by and just open the door and step in. I want you to have that kind of a invitation into my life, into my world, into my family, into my home. Well, praise God. Well, Brother Brown, I may not be doing everything right, you know, if he drops by. Well, I want that because I want him to be able to step in and say, you know what? You really shouldn't be living like that. Can I just sit down and spend some time with you? Well, hallelujah. Well, thank you, Jesus. I want the Lord to have complete reign of my life. I'm going to tell you, when you give God that kind of standing invitation, you do not have a clue what you're opening yourself up for. If you could understand today what God has in store for you, everybody sitting in this place, if you could understand what God has planned for you, what God wants to, can I just say it this way? What's in the pipe waiting to be released? What kind of blessings God has planned for your life? What kind of things? Oh, hallelujah. I'm not preaching a prosperity gospel. I'm not preaching that God wants to make you a millionaire and, amen, that everything is just going to be just rosy. No. I'm not preaching those kinds of things. But I am preaching to you that God does want to bless you. God does want to give you things. God does have wonderful things in store for you. That's His will. That's what He wants to do. He delights in doing good to those, amen, that He will. He wants to bless. He wants to help. He wants, amen, if you just understood what lies in store for you, but we can't see the future, and we can't see what is down the road, and we can't see what God has planned for us. But I'm going to tell you, it would blow our minds today if we could see what God has planned for us, if we could see what God has in store for us. Amen. I'm telling you today, you will never go wrong. You will never go wrong by giving Him the key and saying, complete reign of my life. Here it is. Anytime you want to come by, when you have the hankering to drop by my place, you just come on in. Hallelujah. I'm telling you, when you do that, you're opening yourself up for the blessings of God, for the favor of God. Amen. I'm going to tell you, I want Him close by me. I want Him near me. I want Him close by. I don't want Him far away. I don't want Him far away. Too many people keep Him at arm's length. Too many people keep Him at a distance. That's dangerous. You're going to need Him. And the closer you have Him, the better off you're going to be. Oh, hallelujah. Amen. I say this in my prayer most every day. And there's a song that we sing that says, let me walk with you, Jesus. Just let me walk with you, Jesus. Don't ever leave me alone. For without you, I could never, no, never make heaven my home. I just want to walk with Jesus. He doesn't have to let me do that, but He does. I want Him close by my side. I want Him to have free reign of my home, Brother Reed. I want Him to be able to just step in. Well, praise God. I want Him to have His hands on my children's lives. I want Him to have His hands on mine and my wife's life. I want Him, man, to be able to come in my home and touch everything that's there. Praise God. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah. You're doing yourself a disservice when you keep things from Him. That's off limits, God. You can't touch that. You can't go in that room. Well, praise God. Here's the key. Go through my cabinets. Go through my cupboards. Go through my room. You have full reign of my life. I want you to be in control. Hallelujah. I don't want you outside knocking. Well, praise God. I'm going to show you some proof from the Word of God. I'm going to try to hurry. I'm going to show you some proof from the Word of God. Amen. Of some people that gave Him free reign. Abraham was a man that was known as the friend of God. Friend of God. You know why he was known as the friend of God? Because I read of a time when he's sitting in the door of his tent and he sees three men coming up from a distance. And he runs to meet them. And he says, come back to my house.
He said, go kill the calf. Amen. He tells his wife, go bake some bread, prepare. We've got some guests with us today. Amen. And he made them feel comfortable. He made them feel welcome. He had no clue what was about to happen. I don't even know if he knew right off the bat who they were. But he said, come on. And he made them welcome. And they ate together. They ate together. And then, of course, we know it was the Lord and two angels. And the two angels went off to do what they were supposed to do. But the Lord sat there with Abraham. Well, praise God. You talk about making somebody feel welcome. Ran to meet them, compelled them to come back home, and took care of them, fed them. And the Lord said, I'm about to do something. He said, I want to let you know that your wife, which is barren, the thing that you two want the most in your life is going to happen. Whew, hallelujah. She's going to have a son. And she laughed back there in the tent. She didn't really have the faith at that point to believe. The Lord said, she laughed, but I'm going to tell you, it's going to happen. Abraham had no clue that's what was waiting him. But when the Lord came by, he said, come on, come. I want you here. Spend some time with me. Sit down. I'm fixing to fix you a meal. He made him welcome in his life. He pulled him close to him. And because that happened, I wonder what had happened. Had Abraham been in the tent, had the tent flap tied shut? No, sorry, I'm busy. Come back at a better time. Mama, think about it. The promise of God happened in his life. The greatest miracle happened in his life because he was looking. He said, come on, sit down. He didn't make the Lord stand out there knocking, wanting to come in, wishing and hoping and calling out. No. Lord didn't even have time. He saw him and bade him to come. And Isaac, the promised son, was born because somebody had a desire. Praise God. Don't stand out knocking. Here, you've got free. I'm telling you, if anybody had given the Lord free reign of his life, Abraham gave him free reign. He had such a close relationship with God that when the Lord told him that Sodom and Gomorrah was going to be destroyed and his nephew Lot lived there and his nephew's wife and children lived there, Abraham bargained with the Lord. Oh, no. If there's 50 righteous there, will you slay the righteous with the evil? And the Lord said, no, I won't. And Abraham said, oh, amen, if there's 40. He got all the way down to 10, and the Lord said, for 10. I'll do it for you, Abraham, because I love you, because I care about you, because you're one that pulls me close. You're one that has given me a standing open invitation to your life. Well, praise God. I'm telling you, there are so many benefits to having God close to you. There are so many things that we don't even realize and are not aware of will happen because of that open invitation that says, Jesus, you're not going to have to stand outside and knock. You're not going to have to call out and call out and call out and call out. Amen. Wondering if I'm home, if I'm going to let you in. But Jesus, here's the key. Come by. Come in. Just drop by whenever you want to. Come on in. Amen. Make yourself at home. I'm not going to read the scripture, but 2 Kings 4, 8 through 17 tells us of a lady. The Bible calls her the Shunammite woman. And she had no children. Her husband was old. And the man of God would come by her house on his journeys. Elisha would pass by her house, obviously, quite frequently. And she noticed this. And then one day she compelled him. She waved at him, hey, why don't you come in and take a rest and I'll fix you something to eat. I've noticed you coming by and I just want to extend my hand of friendship. Amen. Come by and amen. There wasn't Quick Trips on every corner. I'm from Tulsa and
That's the capital of Quick Trips, and they're on every corner in Tulsa. Amen. You can stop about every few blocks and go into a Quick Trip and get you a taquito. Amen. And but they didn't have that. They didn't have the golden arches, if you like that. They didn't have, amen. I was playing with Matthew last night. He was wanting to go to McDonald's. Amen. Giving him a hard time about that food. We eat it. It's easy. Amen. Kids love it. Praise God. They haven't learned yet, but, you know. But that was not available. I remember hearing my grandmother, and I'm digressing. I apologize. I remember hearing my grandmother talk about, she was born in 1919, and I remember her talking about growing up, and people just stopped by while they were traveling. And they just come in, spend the night, and they fed them supper. You wouldn't do that nowadays for nothing. But they did that. And she talked about some of the characters that was interesting that would stop by and spend the night. But people were on their journey. That's how it was. And here Elisha was traveling, and this lady said, stop in. I want to feed you. I want to give you a place to put your feet up for a little bit. Take a break. Because he was walking, no doubt. And so the Bible says as often as he came by, she would compel him to come in. But that wasn't enough for her. She realized there's something special about who this is. She understood at some point, I don't know if she did the first time, but this is a man of God. There was just something about it. She wanted the man of God close in her life. She had no guarantee of anything that would happen because of it. But she said, this is something special. And she talked to her husband one day and she said, you know, it's not enough just to try to catch him when he's coming by and compel him to come in. Why don't we build a little booth? Is what the Word of God says. Why don't we build a little room over here on the side of the house? Let's add on to the house. Let's make some room over here. So anytime Elisha comes by, he doesn't have to knock on the door. He doesn't have to ask me. I don't have to be there at that moment waiting to see him, to compel him to come in. But let's make a room over there, and let's put there a bed, and let's put there a table and a candlestick, put some light in there. Let's keep some food in there perhaps, and let's make him a place that, and let's let him know that he's welcome any time he comes by. Day or night, he doesn't have to knock. He don't even have to see me, but I'm going to make a place over here for him that he can just stay anytime he wants to stay. She had no clue what she was opening up herself for. Whew, hallelujah. She had no idea what was about to happen because of her desire, amen, to make room for God in her life. They did it. Her husband hearkened to her voice. They built the place. Along comes Elisha one day, and he turned in there with his servant. Amen. He just went in, sat down or laid down. He said, you know what? This lady has been so kind to us in doing this for us. He said, what needs to be done for her? He said, does she need to be spoken of for to the king, to this? What does she need? And they called her, and she said, oh, no, I don't need anything. I didn't do this to receive something. I'm good. I don't need anything. But Elisha said, surely there's something that we can do. And the servant said, you know, I've noticed she don't have any children. Her husband's an old man. Elisha said, go get her. She came, and he said, about this time, next year, according to the time of life, you're going to be holding a baby boy. I don't find this woman asking him for that. But down deep in her heart was her strong desire to have a child. And she knew that the time had come and gone. There was no way it could happen.
naturally. So she just held that back in the back of her mind. I wish it could be, but it never can be for me. The greatest thing that she desired, but would never happen. But because she made room for God, because she gave him the key, because she gave him an open invitation, the thing that she desired the most happened in her life. Well, praise God. The greatest miracle that could happen to her happened because of what she did for God in her life. Let's stand. I wonder today, if the Lord's been standing outside your door and been knocking. I wonder who today that the Lord has been calling out to, wanting to come in and spend some time fellowship with you. I wonder how many times he's walked away and said, well, maybe next time. Wonder how many church services, how many things have come and gone, and we didn't hear the knock. We didn't hear the voice because we're so busy. Well, praise God. We're so caught up with life, with our jobs, with our families, with our things, with our technology, we're so caught up. You know, when people get so distracted, they don't even hear you. We've learned to tune things out that are familiar to us. I wonder if the voice of the Lord and the knock of the Lord has gotten so familiar that we tune it out and we don't even hear it. But he's standing there saying, if anybody. I just wish somebody would hear and open the door. I've got something special I want to do in their life. I've got a miracle that I want to tell them about that's going to happen. Oh, if you knew tomorrow morning at a certain time somebody was going to knock on your door and write you a good check for $1 million, you'd be up early. You'd be dressed. You'd be ready. At the slightest noise, you'd look out the door. You'd be, I can't wait. I can't wait. I can't wait. I wonder how many things the Lord has in store for us that's worth more than $1 million. I wonder how many blessings. All because someone opens the door and gives him an invite into their life. The repercussions, if you want to call it that, for years and even generations that happen. The blessings that just keep on coming and keep on coming and keep on coming because of somebody saying, Lord, here I am. I'm opening up myself to you. Do what you want to do. Come by anytime you want to. I'm not going to keep you at arm's length, but I'm giving you the key. I'm giving you the combination. I'm giving you total access. Hallelujah. I'm going to tell you, your kids can be blessed because of what you do. Your grandchildren can be blessed because of how close you get God to you right now. The miracles that can happen, the blessings, the favor of God. Oh, hallelujah. Just to have a relationship with God that Abraham had, he was called the friend of God. And to experience what he experienced because he said, you're welcome anytime you come by. Anytime. Anytime. Oh, hallelujah. I'm going to tell somebody today, you can receive the gift of the Holy Ghost in this place this morning if you'll Just give God that standing open invitation. You can receive the Holy Ghost by your bed tonight before you crawl in the bed. If you'll just give Him an open invitation. The things that will happen, I'm telling you right now, I'm not prophesying, I'm not nothing else, but I'm telling you right now the things that will happen in your life because of giving God a complete open invitation. You can't even imagine it. It just keeps on happening. It just keeps on happening. There are blessings that God has given me because, amen, at some point in my life, as a young man, as a child even, I said, God, I'm going to live for You. I'm going to do what You want me to do. Here's my life. Here's my heart. I'm not holding anything back from You. Walk in the corners. Shine the light. Go wherever You want to go. Oh, hallelujah. I want You to be welcome in my home. I want You to be welcome in this vessel. Can we pray right now? I'm through preaching. Can we just talk to God right now? I believe every one of us ought to have, amen, some words for Jesus today. I believe every one of us can talk to Him this morning. I'm going to tell you, He's been knocking. There's some souls here today at this place, whether you're a member of this assembly or not. There are multiple people in this house today that the Lord's been knocking. He's been calling. Would you please just make up your mind today that that's not going to happen again? I'm giving Him access today.